Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Liverpool was scintillating, Arsenal were beaten, and Neil Warnock wasn't happy. Just realised my autocorrect changed it to Neil Warlock.
That is a
firetop mountain.
Oh, that is a medieval sitcom I could get behind. Love that.
Why have we not thought of that before?
Yeah. It was a lovely bit of magic.
Yeah,
hiding in plain sight.
Yeah. I was just sat here boiling up an eye of newt.
He's writing down some incantations.
A mysterious traveller came
past. I thought I was going to be late. I just jumped on my carpet, got there in 5 minutes.
Carpet?
Yeah.
It's a horse. Medieval, I said.
Oh, okay.
Not Arabian
just going
Nights.
True. I was just going on the whole magic thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm international, me. We'll get to Warnock in a bit, ladies and gentlemen. Firstly, it's good to see you. Ladies and gentlemen, and we can see you.
Yeah.
We can't, don't worry. But yes, we're all here. We're very excited because Christmas is not that far away. Of course, you have been currently enjoying the 12 Rambles of Christmas. There's more to come.
Oh, yeah. You're bang in the middle of it.
I mean, there's 12 of them. They're literally called the 12 Rambles of Christmas.
Marcus, you can figure that out yourself.
They are right in the thick of it, aren't they?
Right in the thick of it. But of course, football has been happening, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to crack on with some of that. Let's go to the Premier League, where Liverpool were the better team against Manchester United.
Attention all Man United fans with a question that you might find fairly easy to answer. If your team's about to go and play against their mortal rivals, Liverpool, who are about to go back to the top of the league, are you happy with your manager making 10 changes? 10? As many as 10 would have been what I would have thought, and I'd be looking at the programme.
Marine...
on the match day.
Mourinho said before the match that he's enjoying management more than ever.
Good to hear.
I mean, what is going on?
He's not.
He's had a shave. He doesn't look quite as dishevelled as he
is. He's fiddling as Old Trafford burns.
In the series that's surely going to be commissioned at some point, Neil Warlock, Jose Mourinho is Sauron in that. Yeah. He is Saruman.
Yeah, no, it's Sauron, spelt sour.
Yes, Sauron.
But Liverpool were great. I mean,
it was an incredible performance by Man United in many ways, wasn't it?
Yeah, not a credible one. I mean, Liverpool... It was strange that they had to wait that long in the game for Shaqiri to score the winner as he came on as a substitute. But I could believe, won all at halftime.
Yeah, no, they were that.
Alisson
not
proving he's human, Jim.
Absolutely, but we were led to believe that can't happen.
I can't.
It was a different type of mistake to the one he made at Leicester. The one he made at Leicester was him dilly-dallying, whereas this is obviously he's gone to do something functional and routine and dropped it.
For me, you have to distinguish between exactly that. The Leicester mistake was with the ball at his feet, and that's going to happen when goalkeepers are asked to do that role. But this was a handling error, which you don't sort of expect from a keeper of that quality. Yeah. But the conditions were difficult, to be fair. And Man United, and Lingard deserves credit for gambling on it. But this game, it was like watching a League One team who'd made their way through to the third round of the FA Cup and they'd drawn Liverpool at Anfield.
There was such a lack of ambition there. They were so sort of dominated by Liverpool in terms of imagination, really, and thrust. And did Man United at any point look like they wanted to win the game?
They wanted to just hang on in there.
I think it was 2 minutes, I seem to remember.
I think they resigned themselves to the fact that they knew that Liverpool were a far better team, and that was just the end of it.
I mean, even Mourinho said that after the game. It's some rare praise for the opposition. You think, what's he trying to do with that? Is that a sort of trying to get the club to cough up some more money for the January transfer?
I mean, he's been making noises about how he doesn't know if they're going to sign anyone and he's not involved in it, so that's clearly probably that. But if we're getting to the point where Jose Mourinho is being sincere because there's nowhere else to go...
I mean, we're all terrified now.
We should be scared.
The end is nigh. The end is nigh.
You know, they've won, what, one Premier League game in their last six or something now? I think it's 1-6. And...
Yeah, and that was against Fulham, by the way.
It's so obvious that they're going backwards. In many ways, Mourinho deserves credit for there still being some sort of question mark over whether he can turn it around or not. Because by any other measure, I mean, look at the Premier League table. Look at the amount of goals they conceded last season. Look how many they've already conceded this season. Look how far off. I mean,
they're not going to finish in the top four.
Going into this game, Marcus, Man United were a point per game worse off than Liverpool.
There you go.
And they're now 19 points behind them, and it's December.
You forget the top of the league. How many points are they behind fourth?
They are 11 points off fourth.
11 points. They're not going to finish in the top four this season.
But what are they? I go back to what are Manchester United at the moment? They're just characterless. They're like a hotel room in which Jose Mourinho resides. There's no character there. There's no drive. There's no rhythm.
Plenty of drama, though.
They're bringing Juan Mata on.
It's all neutral colours.
Like, what is Juan Mata going to bring to this game? Like, it just...
Don't ever go at Juan Mata,
Saying that I really like Juan Mata, and you got Pogba and Mata on the bench, and you saw, like, well, the game's already lost, you know what I mean? You are completely characterless.
Maybe
there's
that's
no drive.
What this is. We used to sort of laugh about how Jose Mourinho wasn't a fan of Juan Mata, and then we thought, obviously, when he went to Man United, that'd be... curtains for Mata. Then he arrives, plays a long game, just going to drive the club into the ground and keep you here.
Oh, yeah, you'll play a lot, but it'll be in the Championship.
Yeah, it'll be horrible.
Yeah. But you're right, though. You're right. He brings him on with 5 or 6 minutes to go. I mean, look at, and obviously the mirroring of that is, or the opposite of that is what Liverpool do with Shaqiri. They should be winning the game. They make some poor decisions, which plays into Man United's hands. Klopp rightly is annoyed about that. But what can he do? He can bring on someone like Shaqiri. Mm. Last season, they didn't really have that many options on the bench, as we've talked about time and time again. And Shaqiri scores two admittedly quite fortunate goals, but two goals nonetheless.
Yeah, they were knocking on that door. Yeah. You know, like,
well, Liverpool fans are really annoyed that they didn't put all of the attempts at goal on Match of the Day. Try and get some on target, guys. Don't just whip it from 40 yards.
The program's only an hour long. You
know, yeah, 36 of them.
But the thing is, Fabinho absolutely skied one at one point.
The best one was Lovren's one.
Lovren may as well have just went, like, got a microphone from the side of the pitch and gone, I'm about to shoot now, keeper. Check this out.
Well, Carragher's reaction to that was amazing. He just became a fan. He just went, what is that?
it's funny because, you know, you're so much, the Lovren thing is a case in point. I think he should be fined for that today. But honestly, because you are in a situation where you have got the tiger by the tail. You're dominating the game completely. There's no real reason to alleviate the pressure. Mm. What you do when you shoot like that is everyone on the United team just goes, good, great.
Yeah, also...
Take a couple of minutes to get the ball back.
Yep.
We'll sit down. We'll get back in our position. We can completely regroup. Yeah. And it's pointless. And, keep the pressure up.
You signal to them as well that what they're doing is working to keep you at bay. Yeah. And
frustrating
you're
running
out of ideas, which wasn't actually the case, as we saw later on in the game. But I think, like... Man United conceded 28 goals last year. They're on 29 now. Sorry, last season.
Yeah.
Like, that's phenomenal. Like, the wheels are they're really just coming off one by one, it would seem. Like, it is the classic Mourinho third season thing in action. It's staggering to see it happen
again. It's not as spectacular because they are, what are they, sixth? And they're not as poorly performing as Chelsea were. And it's easy to forget Manchester United finished second last season, second to one of the greatest sides that the English top four
But they were never in it.
It's strange to think of them as second because they finished the best of the rest, and were very, very consistent in always
getting a result
and going for that Champions League spot, which of course they did this season when we were in December. They're not going to finish in the top four this season.
Mm.
They're not.
And what happened the last time that two managers at Man United were mathematically not able to get to the top four?
Exactly. And I just find it intriguing now. It's not the Manchester United way to sack a manager midway through a season.
No.
A part of me thought, okay, they're probably going to give him to the end of the season. Do you still do that?
When it got to 3-1, I was like, if they just score one more goal, I think, you know, it might be very, very difficult.
We said that for a while, though, Pete. Against Newcastle, they've not come back. I don't know whether he's a result away or whatnot. I think they're bored of pondering.
But they've got five very winnable games coming up. They go to Cardiff next.
Imagine if they lost against Cardiff.
Well, this is the thing.
That would be curtains.
A busy Christmas period. They've got Cardiff next away. They're home to Huddersfield, home to Bournemouth. Then they go to St James's Park. Then they've got Reading at home, who are a fairly poor side in the FA Cup. If they don't win every single one of those games, I mean, this is Manchester United. This is the thing. I really want to sort of stress to you guys and to people listening. This is Manchester United.
I know.
The systematic reduction of expectations. Yeah. I know what went on with Ferguson. I know that it was a difficult time for the club. I know that he had big boots to fill. But if you take into account the fact that Giggs did it for a little bit, he's the fourth guy since Ferguson now. Arsenal have got Unai Emery. They're doing fine. We'll talk about them in a minute. Fine. It's not brilliant, but they're doing okay. They look like they know what they're doing. Mm. This systematic reduction of expectation that's sort of somehow managed to bleed its way into the fan base, I think is mad. They need to wake up.
That's it, exactly.
This, I think, is why this is such an interesting point for them, because, you know, you talk about how it's not very Man United to sack a manager halfway through the season. I think this is probably why he's still there, because it's very clear at the club that this will be his last season there. I'd be absolutely astounded if that was not the case.
He's signed a new deal, though, Jim.
Yeah, well, but he's canny. He's got a good agent, hasn't he? So, you know, it might have been in a difficult position. But I really feel like that what they do next, this could be so era-defining, because if they don't get this one right, they could slide into being a team that doesn't win the league for 20 years,
for a long period of time.
I really think it could be that bad.
Football changes a lot. It's not like it was.
It does, but I mean, it's the state that they're in, and the clear lack of a plan quite literally across the board.
It's just roughshod, though, isn't it? Pogba, Mata, Martial on the bench. How much did they cost altogether? My God.
Well, this is the thing I think that it's interesting coming up to January. Now, I think it would be unlikely. It would be a surprise, let's be honest, if they sack him before the January transfer window. So then you have this window now. Do the club give him any money or not? Well, if they do give him money, he's going to sign a certain type of player. Now, if you're going to sack him or if you're going to part ways with him at the end of the season, well, by then, Pogba will be gagging for a move if he's not already. Maybe one or two of the other players will. Suddenly, Manchester United are not the kind of club that you want to go to. Now, again, things can change. If Zidane went there, I'm pretty sure players would be like, hang on, Zidane, Old Trafford, I'll have a bit of that, thank you very much. But you've got to be careful, because if he stinks out the place for the rest of the season, and as I say, some of those top players are like, I've just got to get out of there, they become less attractive. We've seen it with Arsenal sometimes, struggled to attract some of the really big players, because Man City or Chelsea are hoovering them up. Liverpool are now.
That is the context of that is Man City and Chelsea and Liverpool, because they're doing well and they're big clubs as well. But a player's all, I disagree with you slightly, because I think a player's always going to want to go to Man United.
All right, fair enough.
But to put it in perspective, at this rate, they're going to post their worst Premier League points total ever. I mean, this will be their worst points total since 1991, before the Premier League even existed. So, I mean, I'm not trying to be sort of hyperbolic here. Everything Mourinho says essentially is untrue about not having any money to spend compared to Man City, blah, blah. He spent loads of money, right? Secondly, they're going backwards. I mean, even in the worst days under whoever it would have been in 2013, 2014, they still got 64 points. At this state, they're not going to get that now.
No. The one thing that I did find quite amusing with...
And that's when they came seventh, by the way.
Yeah, Jose Mourinho, when he was talking about Liverpool, he took a little moment to remind us that they were very similar to his Porto side.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, guys, you know,
I used to be good.
It is me.
Yeah.
But we should deliver some credit to Liverpool as well, because they're now doing exactly what we talked about a few weeks ago. And we said, I forget which one of you guys said it, but I absolutely agree with it. If they can marry this defensive solidity with this last season's forward attacking play, it's going to be tough to beat them in the league this season in terms of winning the Premier League title. Yeah. And since then, they have done that.
And who have they got in the Champions League? Bayern.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you what, Bayern at the moment,
in the best shape,
you'd surely fancy Liverpool for that.
Yeah. They would fancy it, yeah. I think they'd fancy it anyway.
In weeks.
They can, Peter. I mean, and no more so than Fabinho, who was getting a little bit of criticism at the start of the season and people saying that he's struggling to settle in. And he might well have done, you know, different culture and whatnot. I think Klopp's handled him brilliantly because he's not made it a big deal. He's played him a little bit. He's taken him out of the limelight, blah, 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 blah. And he was absolutely magnificent. I mean, that assist for Mane's goal in the first half.
Lovely one.
Glorious.
What did you make of the pace the game was played at? This is the first 20, 25 minutes.
I thought that's what I like to see.
It was fast even for the Premier League.
To be fair to Mourinho, he said he was exhausted just watching Robertson down the flank. You know, he's a great player, Robertson. I know it's I know it's going to be a really cliched thing to say, because he's not underrated, but he's often not seen as much because of the other style they're having there.
He's number 26. Like his squad number is number 26. Man United's starting 11, 36, 18, 20, 21, 31. He's panicking. He's just throwing anyone in.
Numbers don't mean the same that they used to.
Well, they do when you're talking about people like Darmian and Dalot. You know what I mean? Like, they're not.
Yeah,
I think there is a bit of truth.
Yeah, true.
And I think, speaking of Robertson, to follow up on that point, Mark, because I think it's a really good one, purely because if you're sat there as a Man United fan, you should rightly be saying, why haven't we signed Andrew Robertson?
Yeah.
Because you want improvement to that bloody manager, that's right.
Jose Mourinho spends a lot of his time talking about, we don't have the characters. And we don't have the experience. And now he's saying we don't have players with the physical capabilities that Liverpool have, so we can't run as much. You sign these players. What are you looking at players when you're... If you go and get Paul Pogba and you spend however much money it is on him, and a chief scout or a director of football, I know they've got problems behind the scenes there, but someone else should be saying to Mourinho, by the way, do you know this about him? Do you know that about him? Do you know this? These are the numbers he posts in terms of athletic ability. This is a problem with this, that and the other. They should know that. They're Man United.
Are you trying to tell me that Alexis Sanchez, that Romelu Lukaku don't have physical... You know, look how good Lukaku was for Belgium against Brazil.
Ridiculous.
In that quarterfinal. Didn't score, I don't think, but he was magnificent.
Well, the implication, though, that Mourinho's making with these comments about how he doesn't know who will be signed in January, if anybody, is that he doesn't choose the transfers, right? That's what he's trying to sort of subtly get across, be that true or not. So perhaps...
Or they get blocked, or he identifies players and he doesn't get them. I'm always reminding him, all Mourinho does these days is shift the blame to other people, right? I'm always reminded of what Graham Souness said a number of years ago. It was after a game, and I thought it was a really good bit of punditry. And I think a team that he had just watched had been beaten and they were on a bit of a bad run. And he said, the last thing a lot of top pros do in this game is they go home, they look in the mirror and say, is there anything I could have done better today? Could I have improved on that? Could I take some of this blame and use it as fuel and make myself better? When was the last time Jose Mourinho did that? Because I'll tell you something now, everything he comes out with after a game is involving either deflecting something, shifting the blame, or giving people other things to talk about other than the fact that this job is too big for him and he can't deal with it.
Yeah, his Porto side were good though, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah, exactly. They're not physical or quick enough for the Premier League, but the Premier League in the 90s, early noughties, fine.
Early noughties, absolutely right. They're cross-town rivals. Manchester City got a good win against Everton. Jesus scored his first league goal since August. He said his family coming over from Brazil has helped him, which is good to see.
It was very sweet, wasn't it? Yeah, very sort of nice. And
the curse of the Roddens.
Yeah.
Not that curse again.
I know.
They've got nothing to do with it and it's still called that.
Yeah, I know. Although, one of the Rodders, I think maybe Tom Rodden, came out and tweeted a statement about what he thought of the best bet this last week and how he'll be looking forward to seeing developments. He knew. We all knew.
Yeah, I think he did try. And Manchester City, they looked in control, and with Man City, you always feel that they can raise it, of course, if they're pegged back. But Everton did have chances. They scored, of course, to make it 2-1. And Richarlison had one or two, I think Walcott as well. And again, I don't want to be naive, because Man City, you felt, even if it went to 3-2 or even if Everton had equalised, you felt that Man City would have gone, we need a win here. But as a neutral watching the game, you rue those missed chances.
Yeah, well, I think Man City remind me of how Barcelona have been in the past under Pep Guardiola. And in fact, generally, in that, you see teams, when they have a chance against them, panic. And they are full of that, oh my God, we might only get one of these. Got to take it. And I think it's slightly off-putting, and that reputation gets in the way. And at the opposite end of the pitch, City, if they have a chance and the goalkeeper saves it or it doesn't quite come off straight away, it feels like it's not over. They immediately go back into another phase of play and they'll just ding it about in the box for a bit more. So you can't just get rid and then start building again, because they're so good at keeping their head so calm that those moments never seem to pass.
Mm. And one of their best players this season, Raheem Sterling, comes off the bench. Mm. Yeah. You're Everton defender and whatnot. You just think, that's the last thing we want.
He's just got outside of that Fernandinho position, which we talked about a lot. They've just got so many options, And I imagine it must just be absolutely relentless psychologically to play against them. It really is tough.
But Marco Silva after the game, because this is the man who he thinks big. He's looking up the table very much so. And it wouldn't be, you know, surely you will see him manage an elite club or certainly a very big club.
A bit disrespectful to Everton, then?
Well, elite?
9 league titles? Disrespectful. I'm just saying, carry on. Sorry, I'm just giving a bit of...
Marcus at the
yes or no, though. Are Everton an elite
just give
club?
A bit of window dressing. That's for other people to decide, Marcus. I wouldn't be so...
I don't know about you, Luke. Personally, I like Everton.
Yeah. I do too, yeah.
But nothing but respect for them.
Jim, I'm racking my brains about what he's got against him.
When was the last time they got relegated?
Exactly.
Up yours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we all love Everton on this year. and Liverpool and all the other
so
teams.
So anyway, Everton are a stepping stone for Marco Silva. Carry on.
Unbelievable. Marco Silva... after the game when he was talking, you could see he was a little bit annoyed. He thought to himself, you know, if we had those chances...
People keep disrespecting the stature of the club.
do you think he's a character, bear in mind what happened with Watford, where he's looking over to the other bench thinking, this is the sort of club I should be at?
I don't think he's doing that at the moment, no. He might do in a season or two, depends. But I think Silva...
He's got the resources.
I think Silva thinks to himself that, you know, we had a couple of chances there, and he's a bit annoyed because he wants his side to believe they can compete. And we've spoken about Everton before. Everton should be, and they are, as we say, they should be, as if they're not kind of waking up to this. They should be going for sixth spot. I mean, even if Arsenal
it's their
have a
spot,
few, yeah, it is. Yeah,
six or seven.
Yeah, Man United currently occupying it, but they could even. Well, Arsenal drop a few more games and whatnot, go for fifth. Mm. I mean, that little bit. There's a little bit more of a gap there.
But I think
Silva's not going to go to Man City like some other managers would, and understandably so, because Everton are a bigger club than some of the others. But he's not going to go there and go, you know, they're a great side. Yeah, you know, we struggle. He's thinking, yeah, do you know what? I want another crack at that.
I absolutely understand what you mean, but I do think he's got a bit of pragmatism about him, because the way they set up was...
No, he does, but I'm
quite
saying...
solid.
Yeah, but he thinks, right, with the talent I've got in the side and with my tactical nous, we can get something out of it. And obviously, Steve, our best bettor, thought that as well.
He did. And Everton, and this is the thing, you put it in perspective, Everton haven't won since in the Premier League since the 24th of November. Mm. And they're still only 2 points behind Man United, and they've got a better goal difference.
Indeed.
so they should be targeting that. I mean, I don't know why they shouldn't be targeting sixth place, really. I mean,
I'm sure they will be.
If you look at the sort of top five at the moment, there's an 8-point gap between Arsenal and Man United, and that seems to mean lots can change. But that's a big gap to overhaul, really, isn't it? Given that those teams win an awful lot of football matches. I mean, Arsenal are fifth, and they were undefeated in like 22 games until the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Arsenal have a goal difference of 14. Man United have a goal difference of 0.
Yeah, crazy. It's absolutely crazy. That's what I'm saying. It goes back to what I was saying earlier. But again, with Manchester City, I mean, you get the impression, even for a team like Everton, who've spent a decent amount of money, who are good, who've got a well-respected manager, in December, in the Premier League, away from home at Man City, you feel like the way you feel when it's an FA Cup game or something. You feel, yes, they have got a chance, but here's what needs to happen. Everything needs to go brilliantly for them. Man City need to have a bit of an off day, play at about a 7, or Guardiola needs to get a bit too clever or something and play, you know, Jesus at left back or whatever, and then you might better exploit it. If you don't, you'll get beaten. And the only thing I'd add as to what you said earlier about the chances that they get, I get the impression that City probably about third gear against Everton at the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
They can always step it up.
There's a reason why they sort of left Walcott or started with Walcott on the bench, and Tosun, who's been a bit of a disappointment. I thought he was going to be knocking them in this season, but he's just not really.
He seems to have all the attributes to be a good Premier League forward, but it's tough.
It is tough. All right, after the break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about Southampton. See you in a minute.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Pull out, Phil.
Phil, pull out.
Yeah, I remember that.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's now time for those emails with P.E. Don.
It is time for emails with me.
Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees!
Ah! You've got mail.
If you're listening out there and you get provided with or gifted any sort of bee-related present for Christmas, that is the appropriate response.
Yeah.
Oh, not the bees!
What if you really like honey?
They really like what?
Honey.
Yeah,
maybe.
Oh, honey. Yes, the bees!
Honey's not bees, mate.
Yes, bee juice!
Oh, bee juice.
What you got for us, Peatles?
Hello to Connor Salmon, wonderful name, even
used
better
to play
email.
For Wigan, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Hello, chaps. After Ralph got his first Southampton win, I would like to direct you to the chance bestowed upon him by the Saints faithful. Katharina went to Europe to buy an apple strudel. Instead, she bought a manager. His name was Hassan Huntel.
Don't mind that. And I should clarify, actually, corrections and clarifications from last week. Mm-hmm. We tried to Google Translate Hassan Huntel because someone said it's rabbit. Something.
There's a lot of colloquialism in that part of the world, isn't there?
Well, apparently in Austria it does actually mean that.
Yeah.
So I was wrong.
There was a big long email that basically just said what it was like in Switzerland or slightly Germany. Or blah, 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 blah.
Lots of local dialects.
Correct.
Yeah.
Scotland.
Martin says, loving the Egg 11, but surely there will be room for former Arsenal and Valencia midfielder Ego.
That's good.
Nice.
Benjamin Bennett says, here's an update on Tokyo Verdy. As per your discussion on the preview show last week, we don't hear much of Japanese football, but they've just appointed a new manager, former Guam, Barbados, Taiwan and British Virgin Islands boss Gary White, poached from Hong Kong national team after only taking charge of the Hong Kong team in September.
Go on, Gary.
That's a quick switch around, isn't it? He's British, so there you go.
I like hearing about managers overseas doing that.
Mm.
Yeah. He used to manage Chinese Taipei as well. Mm. Did you already say that?
Andrew, I don't think I did, know.
I tell you what, he's from
Call it Taiwan. Have some respect. Andrew Clark. Hello, Andrew Clark. Now we're reaching the point of the season when a red card can get you some time off for Christmas. We'll be seeing more players going in a little bit recklessly. We've spoken about this a lot.
Yes.
We did a lot on this last year. You probably need to make it a bit less obvious than Charlton's Mohamedou Nabi Sarr, who received his marching orders after just 1 minute on Saturday.
I think it was 39 seconds. Straight red.
Wow. Straight red.
Obviously, he didn't fancy the Boxing Day trip to Coventry.
At least play that game.
Yeah.
I think he's trotted out, hasn't he? And he's caught sight of, I don't know, in the match day programme, he's looked at the date and gone, oh, crap, I thought I had longer.
If you watch it close to the incident, he actually walks up to the opposition player, whispers in his ear, it's nothing personal.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the ball comes over, just massively two-footed.
I wouldn't mind January off as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to chin him. Joe says, hi guys, your mention of Chris Bart Williams on the show reminded me of an experience I had whilst at university in Huelva, Spain. Is it Huelva? I can't remember.
Huelva.
While out on the town one night, we came across some very tall people talking English, which was rare. Upon chatting to them, we found out that they were the basketball team of the city. I started chatting to the English chap who supported Liverpool. His name was Chris. I then discovered of his surname was Bart Williams, which confused the hell out of me. So I asked, like the footballer? He said, he smiled and said, yeah, that's my older brother. He coaches in America now. I then proceeded to question him for about 5 minutes about it. But it does indeed turn out that Mr. and Mrs. Bart Williams called both their sons Chris, and they both went on to play professional sports.
I mean, that is remarkable.
That's madness, isn't it?
I think I automatically assumed there'd be some sort of law where you couldn't call more of your children the same name.
Yeah. No.
Mind you, you're George Jones Foreman. All these kids are called George.
Maybe it's a George. Did they call one Christopher and one Christian, maybe? And
maybe.
Do you know that George Foreman, all his children, he's got about eight, they're all called George.
Yeah,
or Georgina. Fema.
Yeah.
Georgina.
Yeah.
I mean, even the grill was called George.
Yeah. So, he liked it so much, he put his name on it. Mm.
Exactly.
Wasn't Hulk Hogan offered that?
He was. Turned it down famously.
Yeah. What a mug.
Yeah, not the worst decision. Not one of them.
No.
He's not really a man for good decisions, is he, really?
No. Certainly not in voicemails.
There we are. Show at thefootballramble.com if you want to tickle Pete's.
Oh.
What?
That was a coup.
Well, yeah. I thought you were done. And
all right, we're on to the next subject. We're going to talk about.
I haven't got me runner or up, so I don't know.
Mugged himself.
Oh, Southampton 3, Arsenal 2.
Marcus, if you're relying on Pete for admin, mm-hmm. you're in big trouble.
Exactly.
And for that reason, I endorse your position.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Southampton became the unlikely side to end Arsenal's unbeaten run.
They did.
It's very true, Pete. It's very true.
You sound a bit like Marcus then, Pete.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
But not as good. Just kidding. Yeah, yeah. Just more northern.
But better.
Not as sober.
Carry on. Carry on, Peter.
No, come on.
Danny Ings and Charlie Austin scored the goals.
They did
Charlie
score
Austin
the goals.
Charlie Austin scored a nice one at the end. Completely unmarked. Header. Lovely.
Yes. It's a joke.
That mark, it was a joke.
They're unbeaten for 22 games.
Did you see him talking to the keeper at the end, though? Sort of going, and the keeper's going, this close. I was this close, that bloody thing.
Was he?
Yeah. They were being really friendly about it. I quite like that.
I wanted him to just kind of get a little toe on. Sorry, Jim, I just gave you a little toe there. Sorry, as mate. I was acting it out. I wanted him to just nudge one in off the toe and at the end say, it's a poke! It's a poke! Yeah, you having that? Yeah.
I like him to go and look at the egg 11 and go, it's a yolk! It's a yolk!
I'm a bloke.
Or
I'll do the build up.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a bloke. I'm a bloke.
Yeah.
To step in a Twitter argument and someone saying, why are you getting involved? Going, I'm woke. I'm woke.
Exactly, yeah. Are you having a Pepsi? It's a Coke.
I'm on Blue Peter. I'm Noakes.
Wow.
Is that jazz music? It's folk. It's a folk.
There we go. There we are. Right, back in. Yeah, Southampton's first home league win since April.
Why aren't you having a shower? I fancy the soap. That's enough now.
Why are you really slow on the football pill? I've been having a toke.
I love it when Luke's got one more and he goes, right, that's enough, move on.
Yeah.
No.
I've had my say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Jim, you were going to say something about Arsenal. Presumably that they've had it coming.
Yeah, absolutely. This was, not in the manner of that. I'm surprised that they've conceded three goals. But yeah, there have been things Arsenal have been getting away with. And, it's a makeshift defence and that ultimately told. And, Leno, I think, should be doing better on the third one, obviously.
Shame, because he made an unbelievable save earlier from, I forget who it was, Yoshida.
Mm.
And then... To make a great save like that, because then Southampton actually scored from that, but it was ruled offside. Long was it, I think, put it in. And then he makes that mistake and you think, it's a shame.
I mean, I wonder for the second one, could he have been doing a little bit better as well? It looks like he's assumed it was going over, and I feel like at least, make an attempt, but maybe that's a little bit harsh given how good that header was. But I feel it's funny. I don't feel like Arsenal really played that badly on about 70% of the pitch. It's just those sort of incidents at the back were a problem.
From the outside looking in, Jim, I felt as someone with no real dog in this fight, I felt a bit like they were dicing with death a bit too much. Like they were the amount of times Emery would have to change it at half time, make a few tweaks, and they'd pull it out of the fire. I think no matter who you're playing against in the Premier League, if you continually do that, it stands to reason that sooner or later you're gonna come up short.
It was kind of a different system every time, wasn't it? It was bespoke.
Are you waiting for that the whole time?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I thought you might be.
Joining in.
But 22 matches unbeaten is more than you could have wished for under a new manager.
Yeah, it was a surprisingly good run. As Emery says, though, we're still in fifth place and despite such a good run. So I think, I guess we learn a lot about this Arsenal team now in how they respond to a defeat and how they bounce back from it. It's got Burnley next. Which, with respect to them, is
it's a winnable game for
Arsenal. Could be worse. It's at home as well, but still, yeah, it's a shame because I feel like this season the teams above Arsenal are not going to drop a lot of points. So to make up for
not
that, you're going to have to beat one of them.
I was going to. What do you think Arsenal's ambitions then are? Literally this season to be in the top four again?
Yeah, I would say so.
I think a fourth place finish would be.
Yeah,
would
that'd be really an achievement. Good. It really, really would. Yeah,
and I think even fifth, depending on how it goes, the manner in which that could be achieved. Yeah. I mean,
obviously, you want to do well in the Europa League.
Of course.
Aim to win that. Mm-hmm. I think that's not beyond Arsenal.
Wenger nearly did in his last season.
Quite. And also, yeah, it's that, I mean, no one's kidding themselves that Arsenal are going to try and fight for the title.
No, what about Southampton now? There's Raf Husenhultl, a.k.a. the Klopp of the Alps, as one media outlet suggested that his nickname was. He seemed absolutely delighted and should be. He ran onto the pitch in celebration at the end, apologised to Unai Emery as he forgot to shake his hand, but he said, "I had to run to my guys because they were waiting." Yeah. Very romantic.
I like him. He looks like David Morrissey as well.
He does a bit,
yes,
yeah.
He does, yeah.
Yeah. Southampton season ticket holders, of course, given free lager before the match to create a more festival atmosphere. And Husenhultl said they might have to hand out the free booze before every game. But yeah, it was such a different atmosphere down at Sydney.
What a new manager can do for you.
Well, a new manager can do. And also, they highlighted it on Match of the Day and whatnot. The pressing those players, you know, they were already buying into what Husenhultl's got to say. I mean, it was such an improved performance.
I think also as well for Southampton, because they've just come off the back of Mark Hughes and Pellegrino not working in the way it did, they were on this run of having exciting, sort of, you know, forward-thinking managers. And they were getting a lot of praise for the way the club was run and for the academy players they were bringing through. And they were a model of how to succeed. And I feel like this sort of appointment probably puts them back on that road, or it certainly would feel like that to them. And I imagine that must be such a relief.
I think you're right. And I think they deserve credit for not reverting to this struggling Premier League model, where you go, right, we're going to go and get Big Sam, or we're going to go and get...
They did get Mark Hughes.
Yeah, sure, but they've learned their lesson from that. Yeah,
and it worked because he kept them up.
But they still realised that they were very, very lucky to do so. And to sign someone like Husenhultl is, despite the fact that he's got good credentials and he's done well in the past, it is still a real big gamble. But they've thought, you know what, this works for us in the past. So we're going to go for it again. But just back at the top of the table, it's remarkable really what's happening, because Jim mentioned, and you mentioned earlier, Marcus, that they're still only fifth, Arsenal, and they've been on this amazing run. Spurs are in third and they're 5 points to get above Arsenal. Something that perhaps has gone a bit under the radar. Spurs have played 10 away games in the Premier League already this season because it was front loaded because they thought they're going to be in their new stadium. So you wonder whether towards the back end of the season, they're going to benefit massively from having all these home games in this new stadium, which they're hopefully going to be really energised by. You wonder whether it's going to be harder than you think for Arsenal, because Chelsea, of course, I know they've had a little bit of a wobble, but they've started a lot better than people thought.
That's why I think fifth place for Arsenal, it's maybe depending on the manner.
As I say, I feel like...
And then what, then fire Emery? Not good enough.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Fifth place and an FA Cup win, Jem. Yeah, you'd have a bit of that.
Enough. No. like an old jumper. I mean, put an old jumper back on.
Love a bit of that, wouldn't you? All right, elsewhere in the Premier League, Watford got a good win against Cardiff. Three lovely goals for Watford. Mm. Lovely goals.
Absolutely.
Their first win since October. They'd gone six games without a win. They're currently 10th, 2 points off Manchester United in sixth. It's a shame for Watford that they did have that spell of going six games without a win, because only 2 points off sixth place, you know, without that little wall. But I don't know, other teams you can then say, well, they had their bad patches or whatnot. I think Watford are looking good this season.
Yeah,
there's no talk of relegation, and there shouldn't be unless they have a disaster. They seem to be a match for most teams they play against. Mm. You know, even if Man City, I can't think if they have played each other, but even when they play the big sides, you think, I can't see Watford getting hammered. If you see what I mean, this season.
They lost at home to Man City 2-1, didn't they? It was quite narrow.
And was it 6-0 last season?
It was.
Yeah. So
they definitely got hammered by... No, but that was that against City or was that against United?
Or maybe Liverpool.
I can't remember. Who knows?
Doesn't look like it's going to happen this year.
No.
Yeah, I mean, and if they have been hammered this season, then forgive me, I'm forgetting. But that's the thing with Watford at the moment. They've got some lovely players.
Yeah.
Good ball-playing players like Pereira and Delafeu. He looked... Yeah. I mean, who was it... it was Garth Crooks who described his performance as Diego Maradona-esque.
Yeah.
Nice up-to-date reference.
I mean, he has got very quick feet. He is a hell of a footballer when he...
Goal, in and out of Dusty Bluebells.
Come on.
In and out of Dusty Bluebirds.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was danced his way through, didn't he?
Yeah, that's an in-joke.
Very, very good.
Certain people of a certain age in Scotland would only get.
Oh, that's about my kind of jokes I like.
The Dusty Bluebells.
Old Neil Warlock was unhappy, wasn't he? Yeah. One of his elixirs. One of his elixirs didn't work.
So angry.
Oh, I tell you, when I get back to my fortress,
I'm going to have a good levitation.
Again, you're wrong. They don't do that in medieval stuff.
Warlocks? They levitate, do they?
Warlocks weren't real, Luke. You know that.
They can do everything.
Then why is he called Neil Warlock?
They're male witches. No.
Did you know? I heard a wonderful thing recently that
that's a wizard.
That when
Warlock.
When, no, he's right. It's
when,
Warlock.
When the Romans were sweeping across Britain,
yeah,
everyone was terrified. Of course, a load of warlocks. Or not warlocks, druids, but they sort of
very different.
Have a bit of a.
I like it. They carry on.
No, but it's a legitimate religious group.
No. Well, let me finish. They retreated to the island of Anglesey,
in northwest Wales.
Yeah,
yeah, that can make sense.
They
yeah.
retreated. I was told this by a historian, by the way. Yeah. He's also a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And he said that they retreated there, and they were on the beaches, and they were sort of casting spells or doing all these sort of weird arm moves. And the Romans were a bit like, whoa, we're not going over there.
Love that. A warlock apparently is a male practitioner of evil magic, distinguished from a wizard or a sorcerer whose magic may be benign. And the etymology derives from the Old English war loga, meaning oathbreaker or deceiver.
Yeah, female witch.
So, Neil the deceiver warlock.
Yeah, I mean, he's been hiding in plain sight the whole time,
isn't
he?
Yeah, he has, yeah. Anyone who saw that bit of, in quotes, magic from Joe Rules against Spurs earlier in the season, yeah. That was definitely evil,
indeed,
not benign.
Was, yeah. What about Neil Etheridge in goal for Cardiff? He was excellent. A bit unhappy with Troy Deeney's challenge on him when he went in studs up.
Yeah.
Could have been a nasty one,
it
that.
Could have. I'm surprised he didn't get booked for that.
It was a dangerous play.
Yeah,
dangerous. On the continent, that may have even been a red card, Jim. And Neil Warnock was not happy, of course, and saying that he can't understand that Andre Mariner was the fourth official, suggesting that because the referee hadn't refereed a Premier League game this season, they'd been given some sort of trainee.
Well, no, but Andy Madley has refereed in the Premier League last season. I saw him referee.
No, but he said this season.
Yeah, but he has refereed in the Premier League before. This is a Mourinho-esque distraction.
It is. It's also loads of games in the Championship this season.
Yeah, and he's also going, right, he's thinking it's Cardiff. We'll just give him a trainee. But, I mean, Watford were involved in that as well.
Yeah.
That
seems it's in the Premier League. Like,
yeah. It was at Watford as well. I know, it was a strange one. I mean, Cardiff scored two late goals, which was against the run of play. Junior Hoylett with another love.
Yeah.
That's his move, isn't it?
What I really liked about that was when Hoylett scored that first one in the post-match, he seemed almost surprised that he'd done it.
Yeah.
And I love that he's got that confidence to go and go, you know what, that wasn't a fluke. I believe in myself.
Yeah,
also, against the sort of popular narrative around Cardiff, at the bottom seven teams, they've scored the most goals. They're not actually struggling that badly to score goals.
No.
Compared to some of the other teams around there. Neil Warnock was on goals on Sunday this weekend.
Delightful.
Yeah, I think he's quite good on the TV. He's quite interesting.
I do as well.
Yeah.
Got a winnable game coming up as well with Man United coming to town.
Yeah. Someone's also stolen Neil Warnock's eyebrows. If you notice, he's not
that's
really
an
got
illusion.
Any
that's an illusion.
He probably used them in a potion.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely dropped him in there. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
What sort of potion would that be?
Yeah.
I guess we'll see, won't we?
Yeah. Indeed, we will.
Probably one for Jose Mourinho.
If you don't know, you might well be the target of it.
True enough. Maybe Carlo Ancelotti drunk it and he can't stop moving it. That's what it is. Is Neil Warlock in charge of Carlo Ancelotti's eyebrow?
Maybe, it could be.
Yeah. All the big questions are coming
out. I'll tell
today.
You something, ladies and gentlemen. If you want the answer to that, this is the only place in which we'll have a go.
Yeah. Okay? You won't get an answer.
It's like Football Info Wars, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit, yeah.
It is indeed.
We should start selling survival packs, actually.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace beat Leicester 1-0. Vital win for Palace. Nice goal from Milivojevic.
It was a lovely goal.
Lovely.
In apocalyptic conditions.
What I loved about it as well, it was one of those rare occasions where the fans go, shoot, and they do, and it goes in.
Yeah.
And they managed to actually get that Wilfred Zaha-type record off their back, which was 13 games going back 2 and a bit years without winning.
Did Andros Townsend score?
he didn't score, but obviously he is inspired shooting from distance at the club, and it's paying off.
It is paying dividends.
I mean, that's the only way they're going to score at the moment, Jim, because they are struggling to score goals. Only Huddersfield, I think, have scored fewer goals than them in the league this season. And Benteke and Conor Wickham are out injured, but not been big goal scorers, let's be honest. I mean, I think Benteke would give you something in theory.
But, I mean, that's been true when he's on the pitch as well, hasn't it? Like, I mean, obviously we've seen that Benteke in the past has been a better player than we saw last season. But there's nothing about what we've seen from Benteke at Palace that suggests that he's the answer to the problem.
I completely agree. And Conor Wickham was on the bench against Leicester, but unused.
Oh, so he was, yeah.
He's played 2 minutes in 2 years. He's essentially a poor guy. I feel for him, but he's not really a footballer anymore.
No,
he's not playing.
Wayne Hennessy was on the bench from a back spasm. Not used to hear many of those around.
Is that right?
Mm.
My goodness.
Because they had to put Speroni on the bench in the end, didn't they?
I mean, he wasn't playing because of the back spasm.
Yeah, because of
nice to hear Speroni's name, though. But yeah, big win for Palace, that, though. I've said a few weeks ago, I think Palace will be absolutely fine. I think they've got enough quality. But then you do look at their lack of goals and you think, But it's difficult at the moment. It's quite tightly packed down there. I mean, Fulham look like they're you know, they look like the favourites to go down.
They need to learn their lesson quickly. I mean, I know we haven't talked about it on the show, but if you saw the manner in which Fulham conceded that second goal against West Ham, it was embarrassingly bad. Dear. Like, you can't, in the Premier League. I mean, going back to what the Warlock was saying on Sunday, he was saying one thing they had to adjust to really quickly is the quality of delivery from set pieces in the Premier League. He says they can put the ball wherever they want, and you've got to really step up with that because the quality is so different. And in the penalty area, it's night and day. And then you look at what Fulham did against West Ham, where I forget who scored the second goal, but
Antonio.
He had so much time. There's no one around him.
Bearing in mind, you know that you can't flip and defend. Yeah. So switch on a bit more. I mean, that's the thing. That's what Cardiff have got going for them. They know what they're doing. Mm. And I mean, they may well go down.
But they know their jobs.
But they know their jobs. They know the manager. They know what it's all about. Fulham now, it wasn't working under the cannabis. We know a new manager in. They've got to sort it out. And Ranieri may sort it out, but at the moment, it's looking pretty bleak for them. And you
can
look
they
at
learn the lesson after Saturday when Newcastle play them?
Fingers crossed for you,
the
Pete.
Points, yeah.
Fingers that's not so bad if you think about it. Newcastle, what a goal from Rondon, Petey!
Yeah, it was a peach, all right.
What a move! Flo, are you going to say any more?
All right.
Peter, your team just scored a wonderful goal. They kept a clean sheet.
It's
over to
quite
you.
Quite nice. Huddersfield are never going to score a goal because they were abject. And Rondon, it's just nice to have a fit Rondon on the pitch because he works so hard even when he's knackered. And even when he's knacked, rather. And it's just nice to see him. He just has so much more about him when he's actually...
They've won 3-6 now.
Yeah, that's why Rafa's manager of the month, mate.
Yeah, indeed.
And with Fulham at home next, I mean, this could be a chance to start pulling away, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, I think very winnable games. Like Luke said a few weeks ago, very winnable games. And it was a really strong point against Everton. I thought that really galvanised the team because I thought going to Goodison Park is really, really difficult.
Absolutely.
And they were rotated the fouls at the end.
Damn right. Well, Rafa's job is safe for now.
Yes.
You'd think, wouldn't you? All right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we're going to go down to the Championship. See you in a minute.
Welcome to Michael Owen's World League Soccer 99. Have fun.
We will do, Michael. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. The preview show will be out on Thursday. We'll have it in the can on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. Ready for you to listen to. We need a new...
Put it on the internet, mate.
Yeah, we'll put it out there.
Yeah.
We'll put that can on the
internet. Don't put it in the can.
Oh, yeah.
We heard about what he's done. He knows what he's done.
Oh.
I haven't checked the emails about whether he's been in touch. Apologising for what he's done, but I'll let you know on Thursday.
Betting on Everton.
We need a new one.
Shame. I really thought he was going to...
Show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the title, and we'll pick a new one for the preview show.
We will indeed. All right, into the Championship we go. Leeds United beat Bolton Wanderers 1-0 away. Patrick Bamford, he's still about. He returned and scored to put Leeds on top. 5 wins on the bounce for Leeds.
A very, perhaps the youngest man in the Huckabee zone?
He's definitely in the Huckabee zone. He has been for a long time now, Jim. You're right. Yeah, he's still quite young, but he's been there for ages.
Good
in
the champ.
He never looked so far away from scoring a goal when he was at, is it Crystal Palace in the Premier League?
Yeah.
My goodness me. But it's a great win for Leeds. A tricky away game. And they've been excellent since they were beaten by West Brom, who also put the pressure on them on Friday night. I watched that game. Mm. They went and beat Sheffield United at Bramall Lane. I think they went a goal down as well in that game.
Yeah, big game though.
Darren Moore's doing an excellent job there. And at the top of the table with Norwich in the mix-up as well, that was just a massive win for West Brom.
Yeah, no, Norwich are flying high. I think they drew, didn't they, on the weekend, drop points and
they
Leeds
did,
top. But Leeds, you know, they've not faded yet under Bielsa. He's not tired them out just yet.
Could Leeds, we talk about Pompey and Southampton, could Leeds and Man United miss each other next season?
you know, Leeds have got a 6-point cushion between them and third place now.
Yeah.
And we're getting in the Championship, I think we're only a game away from the midway point of the season.
I haven't watched that Leeds that much. They don't look like they're tiring as far as I can see. But we know Beals aside, they do really pull up short in the second half. And with the Championship, the games come thick and fast. It will be interesting to see if they can keep it
but
there.
Their last 3 games, they've beaten Bolton away, which is tricky. Despite,
5 wins on the bounce.
Despite Bolton's difficulties. They've beaten QPR, who've been under improved sort of form under McLaren. And before that, they beat, I think they might have beaten Sheffield United as well, Sheffield, at Bramall Lane. Yeah. So they've reacted well to that defeat
very
to West
well.
Brom. So. You know, they need to build themselves up a cushion because I do think they are starting to tire, but they've got, I think, the second best defence in the Championship. So, I mean, they seem quite solid. Yeah. Maybe they can just about get over the line. I'd love to see it.
I think we would.
I'd love to see Bielsa quit before he got into the Premier League.
Definitely. I think, or one game in. I think it's funny, isn't it, when for so long now, Leeds have obviously been outside the Premier League, and you know how are they going to get back in? Blah blah blah. You wouldn't have thought a few years ago that Bielsa would be the man.
No.
You know, to potentially take them up. But
one of the best videos of the season, we mentioned it, is them hounding to get the ball back in the game about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Incredible, incredible stuff.
And that's why they get tired.
Well, I mean, I do think it sounds a bit like a cliche, but I do expect them to get tired. They've only used 24 players this year, and I think that's including a couple of very young.
Only? I mean, that's.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose so, but two or three of them at least have been teenagers who haven't started games. They've come on in the latter stages.
Well, we'll that's in 22 games as well. No. At this point, the Premier League's on 17. So.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we'll see what they're made of. I mean, look, if we're aware that his team's tired, then he will be and the club will be. And again, the games in the Championship are thick and fast. There's many
of them. Same for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, well, true enough.
Yeah, they're going to Villa Park next, Leeds, so a big game for them.
Interesting
there as well.
One. Quickly to League Two before we go to the WhatsApp group. Macclesfield 2, Crawley 0. Go on, Sol.
Love that.
Big Sol with his first win as a manager. Get a load of that. Instant impact.
It's not instant, is it? Because it took him a little while. Yeah.
Lost the first match.
And went out on penalties in the checker trade against Newcastle as well.
That was better.
Yeah. Because only two teams go down in League Two. They're only 4 points adrift now.
4 points from safety. Oh, come on, Sol. We're rooting for you, big guy.
Well, I'd love to see him do an all right job there.
Not a good job, an all right job.
To be honest, it's going to be very difficult for him to do anything more than an all right job at Macclesfield Town.
Yeah. I don't know. If he got them to finish in the top half, that would be a very good job, considering.
Well, they're 14
miracle,
points off
mate.
That.
Yeah,
exactly.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's open the WhatsApp group.
Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete?
No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
Here we are once again. We've had some lovely Christmas-themed messages on the WhatsApp group, because tis the season.
My favourite is the guy, the video one of you shared of Santa getting interrupted by a fire alarm, tearing his beard off and telling everyone to get the fuck out of the building.
I don't remember that.
It was the video. I think it was a news story.
It was on CNN, so it could have been fake news.
It could have been fake news. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah,
if you can't have a Santa ripping his beard off and telling you to get the fuck out of the building, what can you do?
To be fair, if there's a fire, you've got to get them out there.
Yeah. He's not ready for profanity.
Although there was no need to rip his beard off.
Well, it might be flammable.
Well, what if the beard goes up? Seriously, I'd be getting that right off. Who cares about those kids' dreams?
Yeah. What if the whole costume is flammable?
Like black beard. Black beard on your face, isn't it?
Black beard used to put matches in his beard.
Yeah, to make him look more scary.
Oh, is
that?
Is that right?
Interesting.
Do you know that the cigarette lighter was invented before the match? And it's good, but mucks up with your mind that, because you think the match is a lot more primitive, but it isn't, because it's got chemicals on the end of it. So the lighter was invented way before the match.
Clever girl.
Very clever.
I think that's true anyway.
But before the lighter, did people just have like magnifying glasses?
Yeah.
Cigarettes.
And they used to torture ants.
Ah. Yeah. The flamethrower was preceded them all.
Yeah.
There was a video of some Santas fighting in the street, which somebody wonderfully put the tune to "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year" underneath. I mean, it was
as if that isn't strange enough.
Like, yeah. I know exactly. They're properly going at it. Although no one seemed to be that hurt badly.
They didn't seem like they. Nobody was punching above the beard, were they?
Yeah, it's a bit of pushing.
It's like the rule in a Santa fight.
Yeah.
And also the Santa belt's quite high, so you can't punch below the belt. You've got a very sort of small target area.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to hit skin, it's like, it's the eyes, isn't it? You've got to go for the eyes.
But there's a bloke drives...
You're only going to make their cheeks more rosy if you punch them.
I'm straight away, I'm thinking I'm pulling the hat over the eyes.
Oh, yeah, they're just really going to
town. Then put the shirt over the head.
No, batteries in the hat. There's like a primitive...
Batteries?
Yeah.
Wait, batteries not included in all those
gifts. But Santa will have them, though.
Yeah, Santa will have batteries.
I reckon antlers.
Because they have to come separately on the day, right?
Get the antlers.
For me, it's not a real Santa as well, as if you take his top off, he's not got like a very old white vest on underneath.
That's true.
And braces.
Braces.
And a belt. He's got braces and a belt.
He doesn't wear braces.
He does sometimes.
You don't wear braces.
I watched the Santa Claus movie of the weekend.
Did you?
With...
Kurt Russell? That one?
No, it was with the girl.
What are you talking about?
Is this a specialist thing?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Santa Claus the movie.
Has it got Neil Warnock in it as a warlock?
No. Dudley Moore in it.
Oh, I know the one.
Yeah. John Lithgow.
I just think it's a bit of a big deal to call your movie Santa Claus the movie. It's like calling it Jesus the movie. It's a bit rich, isn't it?
Yeah, you need to be a bit more clever with it.
But it was a little while ago that film was made. So I think they probably thought, I don't know, no one's
gone at this market.
Is it a bit like when Ireland called their country Ireland because they're an island? Yeah. No one else has gone for this. I know it's not
what
the
an
same.
Oversight. We'll take that.
The last one was of a man jumping through a netting machine with a Christmas tree. And that was quite
very
enjoyable.
Good. That was very good. Yeah. Share all these on the Twitter.
Hit the back of the net.
On the Twittles.
At Football Ramble on Twitter. And if you want to be a part of our WhatsApp group,
I'm sure you don't.
It works both ways because they'll be happy with that because they like the ramble, but also we'll get content. Uh-huh. So we should think about that. We'll talk about that in the next team meeting.
We'll put someone in, they can just digest all the good stuff that I like. Yeah. Those memes that Luke hasn't seen, like Chocolate Rain, Tears on Day.
No, you'll share a meme, I won't get it, and I'll be like, what the hell is that? And in 3 years' time, I will get it, and then share it to you, and you'll get annoyed. Yeah. That's what normally happens.
You'll just make a little noise.
Yeah.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. We're back on Thursday, of course, with the preview show. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Chocolate Rain.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
Hit the music.
Production.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.